Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Today, I'm praying that the Lord will give you understanding and insight in the sermon I'm going to preach today. The end is near. The end of all things is at hand, is what the scripture says. And it is high time for we believers to look up, like the Lord Jesus Christ said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Whether you believe it or not, the end will come. If you that is listening to me, you are a believer, and you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and you are expecting the Lord to come, begin to prepare yourself. If you are not a believer, and you don't even, or you just go to church, you are actually not born again, I pray that the Lord will touch your heart and that you will understand that you need to commit to Christ today. Commit your life to Christ means you are ready to obey Him, obey the scriptures. Commitment to obey the Bible, commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is what will give you that born again experience. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, and you will see in this book of Matthew chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the apostles, after He has spoken to them about the temple, and they came privately to ask Him that when will all these things be? And He started giving this, what we call the prophetic end time events that will transpire before His return. And that is what I'm going to go through. I will give you some of those signs that we have already seen. Some of these prophecies are called, along with the book of Revelation, some of these prophecies, since they are written 2,000 years ago, some of them have fulfilled themselves. Others are still in our future. We are looking back 2,000 years now. We can see some of those have been fulfilled. And we also know that some are still to come. And I will point to some of those in a moment. But from Matthew chapter 23, I will read in verse 37. Jesus Christ was talking, saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often will I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, I read that part just to point to the fact that sometimes when the Lord just gives prophecy, it will sound as if it is talking about the end time or thousands of years to come. But when you look at that last Bible verse, he said, when he was saying this, he was actually saying it in the city close to Jerusalem. And he said, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You will have said, well, he's talking about when you come back the second time. No, this particular verse, what he just mentioned here, he was prophesying something that will happen some few days later, because he was not going into the city until when he will ride in like a king on the donkey. And that exactly was what this prophecy, what he was mentioning in verse 39, I just read to you. He was prophesying that he won't come in until he rode in, and they will be saying, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, which has his first fulfillment on that day when he rode in to Jerusalem, and all the apostles and the disciples were rejoicing and saying, Blessed is the kingdom of our father David, that coming in the name of the Lord, and the children in the temple say, Hosanna to the Son of David. That was fulfilling that Bible verse, as he just said some days before. Ye shall not see me henceforth until that ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Of course, that can be said again in the end time, that blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But there was no really a prophecy that says at the end time, when it shall come from the sky, that the Jerusalem people will be saying, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So this actually fulfilled itself some days later. So that's why I'm saying many times the Lord will give something that look like is it for the end time, and it could just be for the next few days. So when we go to chapter 24, which is where I'm going. And the Lord just led me to point to that Bible verse alone. I hope it makes you to understand what prophecy, how sometimes prophecies fulfill themselves without we even interpreting it. Because when you say prophecy, if the Holy Spirit is the one that is giving us these utterances, he knew what he was talking about. He knew when it will take place or what he was referring to. We that are just the receiver may not know what he was referring to. Was he referring to something that will happen 2,000 years from now? Or was he referring to something that will happen 10 years from now? Or was he referring to something that will happen tomorrow? Exactly tomorrow, the second day. But he that was giving that utterance, the Holy Ghost that is the author of that utterance, knows what he is talking about. And when he spoke through their prophets, in all those Old Testament prophets, they may not know what he was talking about. And we that are reading what they have recorded, or even those who are there, they're listening to those prophets, may not know what they were, what the prophets were talking about. Even the prophets himself may not know what he was talking about. Only the author of the speech, the Holy Spirit that is speaking, knows what he was talking about. Was he referring to things for 2,000 years to come? Is he referring to things that is happening in the next 10 years? Or is he referring to things that is happening this week? So that is why you can only rely on the Holy Spirit to interpret prophecies to you and to me. Now, these that have been written thousands of years before and we are reading them, still the same thing. Holy Spirit is the only one that can interpret it to us, what he meant when he said it then. Was he referring to something that happened 30 years later? Or was he referring to something that is yet to happen even in our 2,000 years, in our, after 2,000 years, in our time? He knows what he was talking about. So that is why we have to have an open mind and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Every prophetic interpreter has given their insight. I will call them inside. Sometimes they will think it is inspired by the Holy Ghost or inspired by the Lord. Sometimes it's what they thought is inspired by the Lord didn't fulfill itself the way they have interpreted it. That is why many so-called prophets of the end time have pinpointed dates and saying the Lord may be coming on so-so time and so-so time and didn't come. Or the Lord may be coming on this time and he didn't come. Putting dates to what God wanted to do is becoming foolish for us. So we just let the Lord Jesus Christ himself, do whatever he wants to do. And let's not think about the dating of all these prophetic events. We may have some insight, but some of those insights sometimes are just our own understanding. In fact, in the book of Daniel, Daniel specifically said he wanted to understand some things that were told him. And the angel said, just write it down. It is sealed for the end time. And he, Daniel said, none of them understood it. But the angel said, just go thy way, Daniel. This thing is not going to be understood by all of you guys. It's going to be for the end time. And now we are the end time. We believe we are the end time. After 2,000 years, 2,700 years, we know we are the end time. And that is why more insight has been given to us. And yet, even those insights, we are still just beating a little bit here, a little bit there to understand or to interpret all these prophecies. The ones we are able to interpret clearly are those we can look back into history and say, oh, this has fulfilled itself. For example, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That was prophesied by the prophet Daniel about 700 years before that time, or 600 something years before that time. And Daniel prophesied the Messiah will come before that destruction of Jerusalem, and the Messiah will be cut off, Daniel chapter 9. So all of those things, we can look back at history and say those already were fulfilled. Now I'm going to go to the things that the Lord Jesus Christ recorded for us in the book of Matthew chapter 24, and with that in the back of your mind that only the Holy Spirit can interpret all of these things to us, because he knew what he was talking about, what he was referring to, whether it was for then or for some future time later or for thousands of years later, he knew. So this is why the prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, we have to let the Holy Ghost give us some insight of interpreting it. Some are clearly understood now that we can look back at history and say, yes, this must have happened. This that happened in the years so and so was what Christ referred to many years before that time. Okay, chapter 24 of book of Matthew. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, the Lord Jesus said this around, the belief is about 3 AD, that is 3 years, just some years before he was crucified. And verse 3 said, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, before I go to what Jesus Christ started answering to them, I want you to understand where these apostles and disciples were coming from. They knew the history of Jerusalem in the days of the kings of Judah, how the city and the temple was destroyed and all the people were driven and taken away captive to Babylon. And 70 years expired according to the prophecy of Jeremiah. And that was during the time that Daniel was living in Babylon. And then they were, according to the prophecy of God, they were allowed to come back by the mercy of God. And that was the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. And the city gradually was rebuilt, and the temple was gradually rebuilt. That was about 600 years before the Messiah came. So within those 600 and something years, the temple was rebuilt again by Herod, like I just described to you, where he wanted to please the Jews during the time of the Roman Empire. Now, they were still rejoicing that this new temple was a nice temple, and they were pointing it out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord was pointing to them again that this thing will be destroyed again. And that was why they said, gee, we knew about the destruction in days of Jeremiah. When will these things be? And from what they have been hearing from the Lord, they knew that there will be an end of the world and all those things. So that's where they are asking that, what will be the signs that we make them to know that this thing is about to take place? But they didn't know whether it will be then, they're on their own time, and so on and so forth. And then the Lord Jesus Christ was now about to tell them many things that they were not aware of what will transpire before the end that they were thinking about, which is the end of the world, because they mentioned here, and of the end of the world. And let's read what the Lord Jesus Christ began to tell them. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, you see that the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them, because he knew that it is still transpire in 2,000 years to come. So he knew within those times they will hear of wars. And in the days that we are talking about, the days of the apostles, the Roman Empire, the Egyptian Empire, they were always fighting and war against one another. The eastern part, the western part, and according to the history, Roman Empire also split into factions, and they were fighting and calling, that could make the people that were living in that generation think maybe the end is near. But Christ said, the end is not yet. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Let's go on. In verse 7, he continues, say, For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now let me stop right there. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was telling general things that will be happening in the world, that all of this will be taking place, beginning of sorrows. The world will be going through different things. So in diverse places there will be earthquakes. And we can look back at history. Those things have been taking place off and on in different parts of the world. And the logical was pointing those one out because it's just covering the whole planet Earth for the apostles, covering the whole planet Earth. Now it's going to zero in upon them, the apostles themselves. In verse 9, he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now he's talking to the apostles and the disciples of Jesus Christ, because when he left, there will be persecution against the true believers. And that is where he's now addressing them directly. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ just told the apostles and the disciples that all the things he first summarized for them, which is the global events, earthquakes, nations against nations, will be taking place, and the end is not yet. That will be going on, off and on, here and there. Then he's zeroing on them that are his disciples. He said, you, God, a disciple, will be hated by all nations, by all people. They will persecute you. They will kill many of you. And for my name's sake, he told them up front, because they are going to go ahead and preach the gospel, telling people to get out of sin, telling people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah, who can save them from sin. The devil will not like that. And that is what he was telling them up front, that this is a spiritual warfare. You guys are enrolled in this right now. You are going to go out preaching for me, for the gospel. And he says Satan, who is the enemy, will be attacking you through the physical people. That's why he said many of you will be arrested, many of you will be killed for my name's sake. So the upfront, he said, but anyone that endure to the end means till death, will be accepted by God. Because that is exactly what he is telling all his disciples up to today. And in verse 14, he went forward and said, and this gospel of the kingdom, we'll see, what do we mean by gospel of the kingdom? Christ has come to establish a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, where people that belong to this kingdom are the people that are going to inherit this planet in the end. The book of Daniel prophesied about this, that God is establishing his own kingdom from out of the human beings. You can say, well, there is kingdom of Roman Empire, the kingdom of Egyptian Empire, the kingdom of this. Those are physical world empires that are controlling the world, and they were conquering and attacking one another in military wars and battles. But according to the book of the prophecy in the book of Daniel, you can read the Daniel chapter 2, when he interpreted the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And then chapter 7 and so on, chapter 8, describe how God, in the end of time, will set up his own kingdom. But the kingdom of God is going to be comprised of people all over the world, selected from different nations. And they are going to be spiritual army rather than physical army. And that is what Christ started about 2,000 years ago when he came and died on the cross for us. And he pointed all the apostles that they are going to carry on preaching to other people, and people are going to begin to come on in to that kingdom. So the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violence take it by force. It's a spiritual kingdom, and those people that are accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior become part of this new kingdom. And our kingdom is coming from heaven, and it's not this world kingdom. Wherever you are born, whatever country you belong to, don't put your hope or your trust in that physical country. You belong to another kingdom if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the gospel of the kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom of love. That is why we love God so much, we are ready to lay down our life for him. That's why the apostles were given divine love in their heart, to ready to die for Christ. That is the kingdom that God is establishing. That kingdom is kingdom of love, kingdom of repentance, holiness, righteousness. We should be examples of Christ, showing forth love of God and righteousness of Christ to the human race. And many people are joining in. You say that, well, that's not going to take over the kingdom of this world if that's all we have. That is what is going to take over the kingdom of this world, not by converting everybody, but in the end of time, as according to the prophecy of Daniel, they may persecute all those who are showing love, who are Christians, who are born again, who are this. They may kill many of them even. However, the Bible says the Ancient of Days will sit, the owner of this planet himself, God Almighty, will say, when it is time, he says, it's enough. And the kingdoms of the world will be destroyed. All the governments of the world will be destroyed by whatever they are going to destroy one another, by world war. You know that's possible right now. Nuclear war is possible right now. That's what Christ is saying. It will continue until the end. At that end time, there will be a final war that we almost eradicate everything on the planet Earth. And we will get to that Bible. Christ said in this chapter that if the days were not shortened, there will be no flesh saved on this planet Earth. But God is going to shorten the days. But that is how God is going to allow the world to destroy themselves until practically nobody left on the planet Earth. But he will let some people remain. Then you will see he will now come and resurrect the Christians and give them this planet back, so that only the righteous shall inherit the earth. The Christians are those who are part of this kingdom of God that he is setting up. And that is what Daniel said, that in the end of time, God will set up his own kingdom. And this kingdom started where Christ came and started preaching it and told the apostles to keep on preaching it. And they are preaching righteousness, holiness, Christ saving us from sin and being born again, and the kingdom of love. It's love that is going to conquer all things. Love of God is going to take over the planet Earth. And those who are part of this love are going to be resurrected to live on this planet again for the rest of time. And there will be no more changing of government. You see that in the book of Revelation. There are more going ahead of my time right now. I'm telling you that up front when I get to this. Because in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 24, he went forth and said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So what I just described to you in a nutshell is the gospel of the kingdom, that Christ is setting up a new kingdom, and people are being invited to accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, and you'll be given the power to become a son of God. Gospel of John chapter 3, chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then when you are given this power, that is the Holy Spirit in you, you begin to show the love of God, to be able to lay down your life for Christ, to be able to love people, even those who hate you, you'll be able to love them. That kingdom of love is what is going to take over this planet Earth in the end. But all these people that are being born again may be killed, they may die, but at the end, Christ said, I will raise them up at the last day. Everything Christ said in the book of John, he said, I will raise them up at the last day. I will raise them up at the last day, because that is the plan of God, is to resurrect all these Christians and saints and give them this planet back, and they will reign and live on this planet. First test will be 1,000 years, and after that, eternity. Now, let's go further into chapter 15, verse 15 of chapter 24. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, you see, I stop at verse 14 to tell you about the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Christ is changing gear now in verse 15 to tell about Jerusalem itself and how this destruction of Jerusalem that he mentioned to them in verse 2, how it will take place. But he has started by telling them global events, and then he changed from global events in verse 6 and 7 and 8 and told them about the peculiar events that will happen to them as apostles, individually or collectively as believers. And then he's now changing from that, after telling them that they are going to preach the gospel worldwide. Now he's telling them how the Jerusalem that he just mentioned earlier will be destroyed, what will happen, how that will happen, is what he's beginning to tell them in verse 15. That there will be an abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke of. That will be the first sign they will see. And let me tell you what that abomination is. It was reported in the book of Daniel that a ruler of the world will set up an abomination in the temple. It is that will be the cause of this destruction. the cause of the destruction of Jerusalem will be because something is going to happen that will start a violence, and that is the abomination that happened according to history. Now we can look back at history of Jerusalem and see what they said happened after Christ prophesied this and Christ was crucified and Christ went back to heaven. I think, and the Roman Empire was still ruling the area. So many years later, according to history, it was reported even in the book of Josephus, which was one of the historians, Hebrew historians or Jewish historians. He wrote this. That's where we get some of this story from. He was living during the time of the Roman Empire, and he wrote books for them as historian. And the emperors actually paid him to write history. And he wrote those history and he put them down for the people. And he was writing this after these things have taken place, according to as an historian. He said during the time of these emperors, after Christ has resurrected and gone, 30 years later, there was another emperor that exalted himself so much and wanted to put his plaque on the walls of the temple of Jerusalem. Because these emperors, they believe that Caesar himself is a god. And so they are desecrating every place of worship that are worshiping any other god. And say Caesar should be a god that is higher than them because he was ruling the world. So well, that didn't go well with the Jews. So because they are ruling the Jews, they went ahead and did something like that. It's an abomination. That is something there. It's like somebody going to put his own statue in their temple. That is abomination to them. And that is why the Bible calls it abomination of desolation. That is the cause of this desolation. So how can that be the cause? The Jews will rebel against it. And when you rebel against the government of the day, they bring their soldiers. And that's where the fight started. And they started war. The Jews rallied themselves together. And you have to remember, who are these Jews we are talking about? These are the Jews that didn't believe Christ. So it was almost like God allowed this to happen. God orchestrated it to happen. When God wanted to judge the Israelites, he used the Gentile nations. When they are forsaking God, in the days of Jeremiah, God used Nebuchadnezzar, who was a Gentile nation, to come and destroy their temple and the city and take them away captive. Now, in the time of Christ, the Jews, or the rulers of the Jews, the priests and so on, who claim to know this Jehovah, but they have missed it. They missed it. That's why they crucified the Messiah. Now, crucifying the Messiah are the repercussion. And this is where Christ said, this is be the day of vengeance. So, an emperor was raised up who didn't respect their temple or their God and wanted to put his own statue there, that they should be worshiping Caesar also. And that started a violence and rioting by the Jews in that generation. And they thought their Messiah will come and deliver them. The Messiah they have crucified, they don't believe that was the Messiah. And so they rebel against the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire sent the legions of soldiers to surround the city and all the cities of Israel, of Jerusalem and all the other cities. And that was taking place in the up to 70 AD. About 70 AD, the city was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and the people were taken away and scattered worldwide. And the Messiah didn't show up for them to the Messiah they were expecting. We know their Messiah has already come and gone. They didn't accept him. So that was what Christ is now alluding to here, that when you see the abomination of desolation, that is, when you begin to see this thing being put in the temple by the emperor or whatever it is, which will be the abomination, it's going to spark a war. It's going to spark this beginning of trouble. Then Christ gave them warning in verse 16. Now, this prophecy Christ gave here was to the believers, the Christians, so that we, that those who are living around that time, we remember what Christ said and will not join in with this nationalistic philosophy that will be born in the heart of the other Jews who don't believe Christ. Because it's like nationalistic. Are you an Israelite or not? All right, well, they will remember what Jesus Christ said and know that this is the desolation that has been prophesied is going to happen. The Roman Empire, they have more weapons than them. If God is not fighting for the Jews, the Roman Empire are going to destroy them. So he said, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. See, Christ is telling them up front that are believers that don't think the Jews are going to win. Run for your life because they're going to be destroyed and taken away. Verse 18. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now I will come back to this because we are run out of time. And we're going to continue this in the next sermon because this is a long prophecy. I'm going to explain Matthew chapter 24 further. But if you that is listening to me, you are not a believer, you better repent, because what Christ prophesied 70 years or 30 years before it happened. Like I said earlier, only God knows what he was talking about, what he was referring to, and only the Holy Spirit can interpret it to us. And this, we can look back at history, he has interpreted this to us, that this is what happened in that time. Every other thing that is prophesied, that we can refer to in these prophecies, for the end time, they also will happen. But are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ? That is your challenge. If you are not a Christian, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, so that you can be a member of that kingdom that he talked about, the kingdom of God. And even if you die, you will be resurrected to live again on this planet and reign with Christ. However, if you are not a believer and you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, of course, you also will die, but there will be no resurrection until the day of judgment, which is after 1,000 years of Christ's reign. And then those who are not Christian will be thrown into the lake of fire. You don't want to go there. Accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. Say it after me. Say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and let me live for you. Help me to live for you. And give me the Holy Spirit. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Thank you, Jesus. From today, I am yours. Amen. That is it. Begin to read your Bible and keep listening to these sermons, and we shall come to help you. And if you write to us, gospeldistribution.org is our address. Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Evangelist Julius, Gospel Distribution, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. We shall send some more exhortation. God bless you. Tune us again next time. Amen.